do it, Jim. Do it.
This conference is being recorded.
Text me the email address. Tonight to be into the fall priesthood Bible prayer and fellowship room. We're going to pick right up this week where we left off last week with our subject matter that we discussed last week concerning consciousness and the energy. So I'm going to dive right in this night. I'm working at somewhat of a disadvantage here tonight. I'm not broadcasting tonight from the Mariah Storygate location. I'm sort of on the move and mobile tonight because of certain circumstances of my own naivete. But nonetheless, I'm still excited to come to you tonight to bring you this all-important message. Plastered across our television screens and plastered across the news stations and some of the media outlets are some devastating news pieces that are kind of disturbing tonight, and I want to put some medicine on those pieces of information that may have you feeling trepidatious or nervous or anxious or uncertain and apprehensive about your future and what this world is destined for. I want to try to add perspective to what we said on last week concerning consciousness, and more importantly, the collective consciousness, how important it is for those who are trying to maintain a collective consciousness to place certain images and certain pieces of information in our brains in order to create a consciousness. I have, pardon me for a second, I have a distraction.
He'll be right back, folks. Not sure where he went, but he'll be right back. I'm sure he's probably talking about the Jade Helm exercises. That's really a buzz on the internet right now in certain circles. And yes, it is a lot to digest. And you know, I don't think any of us trust our government anymore. So, but you know, you can't be in fear. Fear is not something that is conducive to love. Can't be love where there's fear. That's like trying to mix oil and water together, and they don't. I think our host is
okay.
Back.
I'm back. I'm okay. Sorry, I had to take care of something, and I had to step away from the phone just for a moment.
No problem. I was.
But I'm back now, and I want to continue with this theme and idea of collective consciousness. And I still haven't received a text from you.
I don't know why. I sent an email.
I want a text, please.
Okay, no problem.
The notion of collective consciousness, they're working overtime. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, Spanish News, all of your media news outlets, your AP, Associated Press, Wire releases, those that are controlled by the people that want to create a collective consciousness. There was a time when we were told that there was empty space between matter, such as we look between the earth and the moon, or the moon and the stars, and the stars and the sun, and us and the planet, or between you and a chair, or you and a table, or you and another individual. There was a time when we were told that space that we call the quantum field was empty space. There was nothing that was there. But of course, the Bible has always said that in Him we move and we have our beings. In the book of Colossians, says that He's in all and through all and in all. So there's never, in physics, there's a term called entanglement, where everything is connected. And because of the Chandler satellite images, we now know, as it went to the outer edges of space and began to take pictures with special cameras, that there is an electrical filament, if you will. It's sort of like a web, if you will, a web that connects everything, so that there is no such thing as empty space. This empty space, or this matrix, or this, what they want us to believe is empty space, or this connection that we have to everything, is sort of like a web, or the filaments through which information passes. Information that we pass in terms of impulses, frequencies, vibrations, and waves, which can be measured in your consciousness or levels of consciousness or brainwave thoughts, depending on where you are on the chart with brainwaves. But think of it all as energy, and think that those who seek to control our consciousness will, of necessity, control the reality on this planet. So some of the terrible, terrible images that we're seeing, and I just watched CNN just a moment ago, and I'm going to try to multitask it, which is difficult for left-brain males who don't have the full capacity of our counterparts and of sisters. The terrible images I saw of Freddie Gray, for an example, just a moment ago on CNN, and the debaters there, of course, doing what they do always. They're debating and they're pontificating and ostenuting and pontificating about what this and speculating about this, collecting information and data, following protocol on this issue. And So, but what are they really trying to do by showing these terrible, terrible images? One after another, not only just in the United States of America, although there's a particular set and kind of situation that's going on in America, but all around the world, particularly in the Middle East and what I believe is getting ready to happen and what they're getting ready to do in the Middle East, there to start up more of these images to create the reality by affecting our consciousness. And so what is our weapon? What can we do? How can we counter this by changing, listen to me, by changing our consciousness? It's just a matter of it being as simple as that, changing our consciousness. We can change this situation by changing our consciousness. And how do we do that? We should not react the way they are anticipating or they want us to react. I've seen the protesters in the streets of Baltimore, protesters in the streets of Ferguson. I have seen the protests, and it's not coming out as well as they would like and want it to, and I don't believe it's going to get any better. Here's what they understand that we don't understand or we haven't taken time to take a look at. And what they understand is this quantum field and how this energy works. And when there are times when they can place certain energies inside of this field, and this field will react to give them the results that they want, which is to maintain a prison planet with a slave population. And that means not only just black people, but white people now, and all people, because these people are sinister. Again, let me say, they understand how this energy works. They understand this quantum field. They understand how consciousness creates our realities on this planet and the laws, the cosmic laws that regulate it. I'm going to try to explain a little bit of this cosmic law and principle to you tonight in a particular passage in what, you know, we use the Bible. So the Bible is a good book. We don't have to throw it away, but it is a book that is a book of myths. It is a book of fables by its own admission. It's a book of dark scenes, allegories, parables, riddles. It tells you that. It tells you that it is a book of mysteries. It says the mysteries of God. And so this book is not a book that you can approach and you can read this book as if you were reading American history or world history or literature. You can't approach it that way. This book has esoteric meanings. It's encoded, encrypted. Now, I want to get to the point because this is critical for your relief, for your release, for your restoration, for your release and for your restoration. What I'm about to share with you tonight is not only applicable to us as in a worldview, but it applies to you as an individual to allow what I'm about to say tonight to be a part of a formula that will give relief, healing, prosperity. It will bring power, poise. It will bring possessions. Once you understand these laws that are so simple, and they are right under your nose, you just have to stop and think about it. And the people that are doing these things, they understand these laws. I have a little video out on YouTube put together, and I recommend that you go there and watch this video. Title of that video is Unity Consciousness. Unity Consciousness, the title of that video is Unity Consciousness, and it is under my name, Khalif Zafnat Pahania Hill. I advise you to go there and watch it, because in there we talk about certain principles, and this is not, these are not, the principles that we talk about in there, I didn't really break the codes down. I didn't really break the codes down today on the video. Excuse me, I got distracted. Someone's texting me. Please do not text me while I'm talking. Those of you who are listening to me, please. I didn't break the codes down on this video. But what I want to get comfortable in this lesson. But what you need to understand when you watch this video are the principles that we talk about are at work not only above you, but they are also at work in you and around you. Now, watch that video, because in that video, there are principles that are right under your nose. Right under your nose. And I want to call one out. We had a beautiful young lady. She's a married woman, and her name is Patty. What was Patty's last name? I forget. I'm getting old.
I must be joining you because I don't remember either.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. We have Patty. I don't know if Patty's listening to us tonight or not. And Andrew from Minnesota. And Patty said something kind of strange to me. She was raised on a farm. And she said, I'm my father's oldest son. And but she's awfully beautiful, and she was shining like an angel. So that was just a joke she used to say that she was the firstborn, I guess, of her father, who was a farmer. And I don't remember exactly the state that they lived in. But we questioned her on the video as it relates to the earth. And this is a very simple, simple, simple proposition. When the springtime comes, the earth becomes receptive. It becomes ready to receive the seeds that are planted in it. It comes out, as Patty explained to us on the video, of a frozen state. And the vibrations of the energies inside of the earth warm up now, so that when you place the seed inside of the earth, you wouldn't really go out and try to place a seed in a frozen ground unless you were planting certain types of seeds, and those are very, very, very rare. But if you wanted to produce a crop, as she said, the earth has to heat up, and the earth has to become a certain temperature in order to plant that seed, in order for the germination to take place of the seed, so that we can get a crop, we can get the first fruit as we approach summer, or Cancer, if you will. So the first fruit, or the first harvest. So that same principle, listen to me, of a seed is what I want to bury in your mind. Think of that seed as energy that I just talked about, because that's what it is. Because if you plant some kind of vegetation that is edible for produce or crops, we eat that and we convert it into energy. Now think of that seed in terms of energy. Now, if you can make the jump with me, hold on and make the jump, that your consciousness is a seed that can be planted also during the right times inside of the universe, this quantum field that we're talking about, when certain temperatures, spiritual temperatures, I'm not talking about Fahrenheit or Celsius now, but I'm talking about another kind of temperature. I'm talking about spiritual principles. When these vortexes are open, when it's time, and I'm sharing this information because it needs to be out, if we plant the right seed, we can now expect the crop. And these are the principles that the people that are controlling the world understand, and this is why they're, at this particular time, creating so much mayhem and madness and murder and maliciousness in order to plant these seeds, in order that they may get a crop of destruction and a continuum of a consciousness that produces the kind of reality that allows them to stay in control of the world. Now, I'm going to give you a powerful, powerful principle, and I'm almost done, because, see, right now is the time to plant the seed of consciousness inside of our soil. I'm not talking about the soil on the earth. I'm talking about the quantum field that they told us was empty space. No, no. In this grand matrix, this where there is no disconnect, the seed that you need to plant now is a seed of release. They don't need to be protesting in Baltimore right now. They don't need to march. They don't need to move in fear. We do not need to move in fear of the news that we hear coming out of Yemen, or ships going into the Gulf over there. We don't need to be afraid of what we hear. Fear is what they are trying to do. Boy, I'm putting myself at risk. I think I'm on the run now. I'm about to give you the secret clue. It's a formula. And I'm going to read to you. I haven't read a scripture. I better read a scripture tonight. I'm kind of on the run tonight, but I'm going to read a scripture to you out of the book of Deuteronomy. Listen to it. And this is a principle. I don't read the Bible religiously. I read the Bible from a spiritual standpoint. At the end of every 7 years, you should grant a release. And this is a manner, I don't have my glasses, I'm at a disadvantage, bear with me. And this is a manner of the release. Every creditor shall release what he has lent to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor. Listen, he shall not require it, exact his brother, because the Lord's release has been proclaimed. These are cosmic principles, people. Listen, verse number 3. Of a foreigner you may exact it, but whatever of yours is with you, is with your brother, your hand shall release. All right. But there will be no poor among you, for the Lord will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess. If only you will strictly obey the voice, this is the principle, of the Lord your God, being careful to do all this commandment that I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he promised, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, and you shall rule over many nations, and they shall not rule over you. Now, here is a principle. Pardon me. Whatever debt is owed must be forgiven, must be released. At the end of every 7 years, what makes this particular period that we are looking at right now in our world, lifting our eyes from the pages of this Bible, and my beautiful administrative assistant in 2000, I believe it was, 8, brought this passage to me, and we began to discuss this. She was responsible for coordinating many of our national efforts across this country in many different states, and in particular to the Capitol and to the White House, Ms. Vicki Billingsley. And she brought this passage to me, and I began to look at it in 2008, but I was 7 years too early. Now, 7 years later, 2015, we are at the end of a 7x7 period. 7x7 is 49. Now, these numbers may not mean anything to you right now, but that number 49 is the number of a complete cycle. Complete cycle in terms of a particular calendar, and the calendar that we're talking about is a sacred calendar. And this particular year that we're in right now is a 7x7, which is 49, cycle, which means that everything must go free. And that is based not upon religious principles. Please, religious people, don't get this twisted. I'm not talking to you about religion. I'm talking to you about cosmic principles and the forces of nature. Just like spring comes and it's time to plant, just like when the first fruit comes and the latter harvest, the early harvest in the summer and the latter harvest in the fall. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you about energies and timings and patterns. I'm not talking to you about religion. This 49-year cycle, 7 times 7, is part of a greater cycle of a 490-year cycle, which brings us to a 500, which brings us not only to a 50, but to a 500. This is the year to release everything. Now, what is going to happen? What is going to happen here in this year if you release? These people who understand this energy are trying to sow into this field, this soil, the cosmic soil, fear, murder, madness, and just everything you can just about think of. They're trying to sow into it to create a continuum. The way to stop it is not through protest. Don't play into their hands. Release. Stand still. And I'm going to say something to you that's going to sound kind of odd. And I'm going to pause because I've been talking for 30 minutes. I'm at a disadvantage tonight, a very deep disadvantage as I'm on the move. We must forgive and plant the seed of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the highest expression of love. How do I know that? I know that in the story that we all mostly have heard. If we haven't, I'm about to share this story with you. It's a story that's found in the New Testament of a man that's brutally tortured way to the point, except they didn't break his neck. They didn't crush his larynx. They didn't bruise. Well, maybe perhaps they bruised his brain. I don't know in the story. But we know that they didn't break his legs. Normally, in crucifixion, a public execution, as we just saw Freddie Gray, publicly tortured and then executed. Publicly tortured. And then they place this image. You've got to wonder, why are they placing these images before us? What are they trying to do to our consciousness? What are they trying to do? They're trying to create what I've just tried and attempted to explain to you, to control a reality by controlling your consciousness. Now, this particular person that I'm talking about is Jesus Christ in your Bible. You can go and find the story of the crucifixion. I'm not going to go back to the Bible. He said 7 things when he's crucified on a place called Golgotha, which simply means a skull, and that's also a code. And there are two thieves, one on the left and one on the right. He says 7 particular phrases from that cross. And one of the things that he says is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Publicly being executed and crucified, he releases forgiveness. And guess what? It was right at the spring equinox when he did it. Watch how beautiful this is. You can't miss this. Right at the same time that the farmer goes to the earth to plant the seed to get a material crop on the planet, is the same exact identical time that the Christ of your Bible was crucified in Nisan during the time of the Passover. You can't miss it, because if you understand when the spring, summer, and fall, and in particular now the spring, you will understand that this was done in the spring. And during the spring, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know. He released the seed of the most powerful expression of love that we know. In the face of tremendous torture, in the face of execution and sacrifice and energy. Now watch what he did when he did that. That one thing that he did. Now, some will argue the validity and the reality of Christ, or whether he really existed or whether he really did not exist. But that is not my point here tonight. My point is the principle of a principle that I can observe and I can know. And that is of the springtime, and that this story occurs at a particular point that we call a cardinal point, which means a door or an opening. And then that door happens, and then that particular point in that cardinal, and there are 4 of them, by the way, on this planet, 4 openings or 4 cardinal points, and they move from a waning or a waxing state, waning state, big state, and they we still have time. We still have time to do some planning now and not allow ourselves to be manipulated, our consciousness, on a collective scale. We must come together. I challenged the black preacher last week. I've not had one call. I know they're listening. I've challenged them at deep levels. I see my brother Frank just joined in. I challenged them at deep, deep levels last week. I tried to insult, start a fight so that we could start a conversation. Not because I want to fight. Not because I'm trying to pick a fight. No, that's not what I'm trying to do. We need to get truth out. And we need to resist all of those who are lying to us and don't know that they're lying to us. There are many honestly good-intentioned people who don't know that they've been deceived. And among this group is one group in particular, and that is the African-American or black or whatever you want to call preacher. He does not know that he's been deceived because he's forgotten that he's been deceived. And we are telling collective lies. A collective lie emits a green, vertical, subtle energy, negative green, subtle energy, that lowers our immune system. A lie not only harms the individual in terms of his frequency and vibration, it also harms others that are within proximity because of the emission. We are all electrical beings. We have a glow. We have a vibe. And so when we walk in falsehood, it emits a green, vertical, negative energy that affects others and lowers the immune system, so that when you have a collection of people or a collective consciousness that is infused with lies, it lets out a big emission, and it lowers the lowers the immune system, which makes us susceptible to diseases. So it's always good to walk in the truth. So I challenged people last week. I challenged my colleagues, my brothers, not because I really want to fight, but because I want to get the truth done. Now, you must, in this macabre activation event that we had just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the importance of release, and I'm running out of time tonight. I can't really deal with more of this concept of release, but there are certain things that you can do to release this consciousness and release forgiveness. We have to get this word out. We have to stand together. Matter of fact, I have on my Facebook page a document. It is more like a resolution. On my Facebook page, I'm the Khalif Zafnat Pahania El. There is a document, and there this document will explain the year of the Lord's release. Now, I've done my best tonight, under my circumstances, to explain to you that this release is energy. This release is energy. You must release this energy. And let me add this one word of warning. I'm not telling you not to watch CNN and all of those, but you've got to watch it from the standpoint and from the understanding that these people are trying to program your mind. And the information you're getting there is to create a false consciousness so that they can get the reality that they want. Do not think that these people are telling you the truth. Do not believe that the people that are on there are not being censored and monitored. But this year of the Lord's release, this forgiveness, this particular time of the year, while this soil of the cosmos is still receptive to this seed, we need the collective consciousness in America and around the world to stand still. I have a resolution on Facebook. You need to go and read it. It's a global resolution. It's not the only one. I'm not saying that I have the only answer, but at least it's a start. I do believe if you think of it in terms of energy and place your name on it, that you're standing with us to release all debt regardless of the nature and nomenclature of the injury, the insult, the hurt, that we will freeze these people right in their steps. We will create an energy that will come back in this universe think of it in terms of energy, that will come back in this universe that will wipe them out. It will wipe them out. We're not going to overthrow these people with legislation, with bills, with measures, with documents, with treaties, with initiatives. We're not going to overthrow them in their own system. But we can if we understand the principles that they're using against us. If we understand that we are connected to this powerful something called the cosmos, and that there are laws that regulate it. And this is why you have in your Bible a man called Jesus saying, forgive them, on the heels of the most, that time, most horrific torture we've ever seen. I thought that was the most terrible torture that one could experience the way they talked about it, until I saw Freddie Gray the other day with his neck broke, his spine severed, his larynx crushed. Can you imagine how difficult it is to breathe with a crushed larynx, a bruised brain? We don't know which part of his brain, how much pain he was in, and then his legs are snapped and then drugged and thrown in a car. Paddy wagon, rolled to wherever he was taken. I hate watching it. Just brutal torture. And I say with all of the sympathy that I can muster and condolences to the family, that I am with you in empathy and sympathy in this matter, and that this was part of his cosmic contract to come into the world to do this so that we that are left would understand. So I'm going to open up now for questions and answers, but I want to reiterate, we have a
Q&A session started.
We have a resolution. And this resolution is not directed toward any court. It's not directed toward any body of governance on this planet. It's directed toward understanding the cosmic principles and laws that I just explained to you, that we stand together collectively and plant the collective seed of forgiveness. I'm a person, my list was so long with people that I felt like that had harmed and injured me. I can't begin to tell you. And some of them were very, very close, even within my own structure, my own family. And I wondered, why had I been called upon to go through the kind of things that I had gone through, until I simply realized even some of the people that I placed in certain positions and would not have been where they are were it not for me, turned and did certain things. And that's just, and I'm not crying about this. It's not a pity party. But it was a lesson for me to learn. A lesson of how we have to forgive people because of the energy and the principle that I'm talking to you about tonight. So we got to get this word out. We've got to get this word out that forgiveness is an energy. We've got to get this word out. Read the resolution that I have there on my Facebook page. It's there somewhere. It's titled, what is the title of it, Elijah? You remember?
It's, nope.
I'll go in and re-put it up front.
I'm having a senior moment tonight. I apologize. Too much going on. I apologize.
Okay. Well, we have it up there. It has to do with the release. I'll go back in and place it up top because I get smothered with a lot of different things. I try to use Facebook as a teaching tool to get word out. I don't really use it as social media too much. I do some social things just only to get the attention.
Okay.
But my, pardon me?
It's called Let My People Go, Year of the Lord's Release.
Let My People Go. You hear that? The Year of the Lord's Release. And really, no one has you. They can't let you go. It's your consciousness that you must let go. With all of the distractions that they try to sucker you into, I've given you the most powerful principle known, the most powerful principle in the expression of love is forgiveness on the heels of wrong. I'm going to open for Q&A. I'm going to stop. I'm out of breath. I know someone, I've been talking for 40 minutes or so.
So we have someone in the queue.
All right, bring them in.
All righty. 954.
Well, good evening, Brother Khalif, and I believe that's Midwest.
I'm not queen. Sure. Pardon me for interrupting you, Your Highness. Your Majesty. Your Majesty. Everyone is in the room.
It's only that royalty recognizes royalty. Okay, that's all it is. But I'm so happy to hear you say that no one holds us, because I had an epiphany some years ago now, and I think I've said it to you before, that eons and eons and eons ago, we agreed to participate in an experiment to see how far we could separate from God. The experiment is over. We failed. It's time to celebrate.
You know, my queen, you are exactly right, and the Bible agrees. And this is why I do not throw my Bible away. Jeremiah 1 and 5 says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Now knowing is mutual. Is mutual. To be known, to know is to be known. So we made this spiritual soul contract before entering into this experiment to know, to experience and to know the I am-ness of our being, that we are part of the peace of the prime creator, who took a piece of him herself without diminishing him herself and came apart from him herself, that we may come to ourselves and then come back to him and herself. So I agree with you. I'm not in disagreement that everything that happens is a part of that contract. And the Bible so says that. Listen to what Jesus says. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Some kind of contract is made before he even gets got there. This is the destiny that is pointed out time and time again in the Bible, that this person would do this and this person would do that. And many times their names were given to be indicators and pointers of a destiny and purpose for which that person came into the world. This is why it's so important that we don't allow other people to name us and to take away from us our divine right, our divine purpose and privilege. And this is what some people have done. This is what I was digging at last week, when the people who understand these principles took away our names and gave us names. They were trying to change the destiny and alter that. We are intelligent now. We know that that time, as you say, is over. It's time for the people to wake up and to realize. So I want you to do the rest of the talk, and if anyone else is in the queue, but I want to hear your wonderful voice the more.
Well, let me just say this. I want to say two things. First of all, the only person that we really need to forgive is ourselves, each individual person. And it's so hard for us to accept the fact that, say, a child that is molested chose that for themselves, to learn a lesson. That's very difficult for the human mind, and more than that, the human heart, to accept. But we are co-creators with the universe. So, you know, if I don't want to get too deep into this, because I would be remiss. But anyway, I was thinking about the voice, and this just came up to me now. I didn't think this before. But the vortex that you were talking about, that you and, you know, your group experienced during the Merkaba training.
Activation event, yes, correct.
Midwest can attest to the fact that each one of us is a vortex. Can you relate to what I'm saying, Midwest?
Absolutely.
You know, you remember the experience that we had, mm-hmm. and we were a vortex. Mm-hmm. You know, so I call on everyone on this call to to envision your vessel as a receiver, you know, a vortex, a opening. Like you said, there were four openings on
cardinal points on
Earth. Is that on Earth or on
four
in
cardinal the, points in the and during in the precession of the equinox as the Earth moves around the Sun and the Sun moves around the constellations. Okay, and based on the tilt of the Earth, there are four points of openings that are based upon these constellations that are cardinal points. The word cardinal simply means door, opening, vortex. Like the cardinals in the...
Well,
I
think that in our body, we also have those spaces. We have the crown chakra, the solar plexus, the pineal, and the pituitary gland.
Joan, that would be our Merkaba.
Okay, and that is our vehicle. That's a vehicle.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's right.
Okay, so you got to be going through something. If you're going through space or you're going through an energy, you're going through a vortex the minute that you activate. But more than that, I want to ask you, because you are adept at reading the code of the Bible, what verses speak to the freedom of choice?
Well, the very first story that we read is the freedom of choice, which is a very powerful passage in the Garden creation story, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The duality consciousness, when the story is told of an Adam and an Eve. Of course, we know what that story is. I won't say that because it's too hard, and it may offend certain people that don't, you know. But nonetheless, the first thing that I think of is that story where we are given a choice in this garden between this tree, which is actually us. In Kabbalah, this tree of life, or the Sephira, or the Adam Katma, with the four levels, there you go, with the four levels or four kingdoms of Asaya, or Absolute, Braya, and Asaya being kingdom, or the four levels. So you are right. Those four cardinal points, according to the tree of life, which is the human Adam Katma, there are four points or four openings also, or four levels, okay? As you talk about that. Now, choice, again, in the passages that we read tonight concerning release, if you read on further, you will find that choice of life and death, a blessing and a curse, is placed before us in our path. He says in one of those chapters there, I think it's 18 in Deuteronomy, if you read three chapters over, you will find that the blessings and the curse are placed before these people that we call the children of Israel. And then finally, Joshua, moving into the promised land, he tells the people to choose you this day the gods you will serve, meaning what principles will you adhere to? He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So in other words, these principles that we're talking about. So yes, those passages in the Bible deal with choice. And it goes on over into the New Testament where it says, in the day that you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. And that's so difficult when you hear the voice of truth, because there's so much error out there. And again, I say focus because I am a preacher. I stay focused on trying to awaken them. I'm using the term that society has put on us. I happen to be an African-American preacher. Before that, we were, black. James Brown. Before that, we were Negro. Before that, we were colored. You know, our identity keeps changing. Somebody keeps changing our identity. But as you said, we agreed to that. So I focus on that because we were told that we only had three messages we could preach. There was a time when we couldn't even read the Bible. It was illegal. You were killed. if you were caught reading. Then the master decided that he would let us read the Bible, but only under his supervision, and he would allow us to have church. And he gave us three messages, and those messages were monitored by someone until they became cemented into our minds. And the first message that they gave us was that we would always have to turn the other cheek. Second message they gave us was they were the masters, we were the servants. The third message they gave us?
No, we hear the second message.
Pardon me?
We didn't hear you say the second message.
Okay, the first message that they were given and monitored and made sure that they preached was turn the other cheek. The second message they were given and monitored and made sure they preached is that you, meaning the blacks, since we're allowing you the privilege to have church and read your Bibles on our plantations, you are the servant, we are the masters. Don't ever forget that. Third message is you must defer all of your hopes for any attainment on this planet and defer them to heaven, to the by and by. Your expectations as a stakeholder in this world is not a part of the deal. So you must not preach yourself as a stakeholder in this world. So those are the three messages. So that has ingrained itself into our consciousness, and these are the choices as I see the scriptures in terms of choosing. I start there and I end there. Hopefully that helps you a little bit.
All right. I have one more question. What is the difference between the Kabbalah and the cabal? The Kabbalah with a K and the cabal with a C.
Cabal. And you're talking about the occult, and occult is not the same thing that we are taught. See, everything is backwards and upside down, according to Isaiah 29. They've taken the whole thing. A cabal simply means to stand on one square. In other words, you know the knowledge. You're fully Kabbalah, and the cabal, those are the people that are standing on the square. But the thing about the square planet, Saturn, is being pulled out. And the energies of Saturn are no longer dominating our solar system, Uranus. Beginning to dominate our solar system. So we are not going to be standing on the square or standing in that truth. The energies that are coming in now are not linear and coming. I wish that were, if I were in front of you, I could draw you a picture and show you exactly how these energies that are coming in now, they're not the same. They're not coming in the same way that they were coming in the previous age. These energies that are coming into the planet now are swirling, going around in such a fast momentum. You mentioned Merkaba a moment ago and those four openings. And then I just mentioned the Sephiroth, the Tree of Life, or Kabbalistic Tree of Life. And you mentioned Cabal. These people that are part of the Cabal are the people that stole this knowledge and are holding this knowledge and using this knowledge against us.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yes.
Well, I have to say this, that since I stepped into this circle with you, all of you, everything that I have believed since I began seeking 40-some years ago has been more and more clear. And I am very, very appreciative of aligning with you and Midwest and everyone, you know, Dr. Mills and Joseph and Deidre and Divinity and so many different people that I've connected with.
And don't forget about Ron, Cheryl, and Dr. Prince and all of those. But, Joan, more importantly, you and I came through at the same time, and iron sharpens iron, and so does a man. You and I have had chance to talk on one-to-one basis, and even in contexts like this, over the radio waves and before an audience of a radio audience, and those that call in, iron sharpens iron. You have been such a blessing to us, and your voice has such resonance. And there are several people that come on this line, A.J., Anthony, and Dawood, Malcolm, and others that choose to talk. There's so much medicine in their voices. That we are healing each other. We're causing each other to remember. and to awaken. Mm. Dawood is so smart and so powerful and so brilliant. So is Malcolm and AJ and Anthony, the brother with the southern accent. I don't know where that brother is from, but that man is, he has medicine in his voice just like you. Of course, you are an accomplished, trained vocalist. So
yeah.
So we celebrate.
And I'm trying to quit, but it won't happen. So I'm trying to quit. But I so appreciate you, and I call the sisters on the line to speak up because we need to hear the feminine voice. You know, we need to hear each other's voice. And what Khalif said earlier is that we have to come together. We have to unite, join our hands. We don't have to see each other because we are spirits, you know, in a physical vehicle. We don't have to see each other, but we do need to hear your voice. The voice is a powerful instrument that we were given. I mean, what's the first words of the Bible? In the beginning, it was the Word. And we need the voices of the sisters. And by that, I'm not speaking any particular racial thing. I'm talking the feminine voices need to step up and hit star 6 and say what is on your heart.
Yeah, the sisters really need to do that because one of the things that happened, Joan, is that inside of Western religion, even in Islam and Judaism and Christianity, the feminine voice has been silenced for a reason and taken out. It's only in the East do we hear the feminine voice in terms of religion as it is such. But it's easily disproved that the Romans who did this had a motive for making this a masculine, war-dominated, left-brain culture so that they could do what we said tonight, and that is to create the reality, create all this tension and stress in the world. If we are to return to peace, we must have the voice of the feminine. We must have the voice of our mothers, our wives, our daughters, and our sisters. So you are exactly, and I celebrate. That's why I called you Your Highness.
Okay. Well, I say peace, love, truth, happiness, and joy to all of you. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again.
Spoken like the queen you are.
Thank you, thank you. You're and Midwest, let's talk soon.
Absolutely, dear. I look forward to, you know, one day we got to meet in the physical. We've met on the spiritual side, but we need to meet physically, dear.